A war of words has erupted after a Russian-based game code reseller was caught with stolen game codes. Plus, I remember a time when game developers were all in this together. Tonight is June 26, 2016, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right, I don't have a season finale, unlike some shows, because those other shows are quitters. That's right, what's a season? What's a season finale? Is that like a Telltale Games thing? Hello, everybody, and welcome to not the season finale of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. You're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Hello, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. If you are logged into the site, you can check in on the site and get some points and some love, just like, Raginator, who's a big fan of what's going on Steam right now, and Veronica Isabel. They checked in at some point during the first, during the intro. Thank you to you guys. If you're listening on the podcast feed, you will hear a very annoying sound followed by a passphrase that you can then input into the site and get just as much love. And I appreciate all you guys that do that. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me via the comment section here at VogNetwork.com on the episode page. So one thing I do want to say, just a little bit of housekeeping, there is going to be no live show on, or no pretty much, most likely no show at all, on July 10th. That's in a couple weeks. So there's going to be no show then. A couple weeks later is July 24th, and that's going to be kind of an interesting show. Because that is my 11th year anniversary of being on the air. My first show was July 24th, 2005, of this version of the Bobby Blackwell Show. There actually was a version before that was in 2004 before podcasting. It was on Live 365. Where have you heard this story before? And I do have those episodes, and you will never hear them. But they there was like 12 episodes, and it was like on a Thursday night or something. So this is technically version 2.0 of that. And it started July 24th, 2005. And July 24th is a Sunday this year, and this will be year 11. So, yeah. But there's going to be no show on July 10th, and there might not be a show the week after July 24th, which I guess would be the 31st, I believe, because I might be at a convention. There is some things happening that might jeopardize that, so I don't want to commit fully. But I may be at a convention that weekend and not being able to do a live show. So we'll see. Some stuff I learned in the past week put that entire trip in jeopardy. So, yeah, a lot of people, the Steam sales started, the Steam summer picnic sale, whatever, started this week. And people have already said what they've started buying over at live.vognetwork.com. Fifth Dream, he said Cutie Skylines, but he means City Skylines, although he thinks the Cutie Skylines would be the best mod. It was $10, not $30. I bought it at $20, and I thought it was well worth the purchase. So, and I guess Cutie Skylines would be City Skylines with all anime girl billboards. I think I'm okay with that. I actually already bought I bought some stuff already. I finally got the Stanley Parable, even though I didn't really like the demo all that much. So we'll see if my demo, because everybody's like, oh, the demo's nothing like the game. And I'm like, well, then why did I play that demo? Or actually, I think I liked the demo, and they're like, oh, the game's nothing like the demo. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I won't like the game. So we'll see. It's $3. But I actually did pick up some VR games that I haven't been able to play yet. But I did pick up, and I know a couple people, I think like Kaijudo's called in about this program before, and I haven't tried it yet, but Tabletop Simulator, which is a game that basically simulates playing a tabletop card or board game or something like that over the internet, because if you have friends that you like playing board games with but they don't live near you, it kind of sucks and it's kind of hard to play those games. Well, this kind of simulates it. It went on sale, but they also added HTC Vive with the hand controller support in the past week as well. So I figure now's the time to get into Tabletop Simulator and actually try it out. That's what I got in the Steam sale. I know a bunch of other people have bought things and gotten trading cards that are all going to go away on July 4th and stuff. So get your badges. Go get your stinking badges. Go look at your discovery queue and get some badges. A game that I also played this week that I bought, I didn't get it on Steam, and it's not on sale because it's new. And it's kind of weird. It's like I was hesitant to buy this game because I wanted this game. And I bought it on PS4, and the reason I was hesitant to buying it at all is because I know deep down, I know in the next 6 months, this game is going to be one of the free PlayStation Plus games. I just know it. And so I'm like, do I want to save my $5 and buy it and wait for it to come out in a couple months as the PlayStation Plus game? Or do I want to spend the $5 and play it now? And my wallet won out. So I actually did get Pac-Man 256. If you haven't heard of this game, this is a mobile game that's been translated to console. It's a free-to-play, a freemium, free-to-start, whatever you want to call it, with timers and stuff like that, that's on Android and iOS, which I had never played it or even really heard of it, to be fair. They finally released it on consoles and for PC for $5. And it's basically, it's an endless maze. You go upwards, and you're basically using power-ups. It's actually a lot of fun. It's very, you know, you could die really quickly or you could go, but there's always this sense of progression. And the way it's different on the consoles and PC than it is for mobile is that when you want to unlock a new power up, you know, have to wait 20 minutes or an hour or something like that. This, it's instantaneous. So you can just keep on playing and get all the power ups. And, I was so pissed because my high score, it does actually track leaderboards, and it actually showed me when I was getting close to Fifth Dream score, and I was so close, and I died, and I was like 100 points away from breaking Fifth Dream's high score. And it shows you that in the top left screen as you get close, kind of like what Pinball FX does if you're getting close to people's scores in that. And I've never gotten anywhere close to that score again. Fifth Dream's in chat telling me in your face. I will eventually get the power-ups to pass that score. Breakman says, I've been playing for free on my Android. Did I mention it was free? It is free on Android. But you're then playing on Android, and you're not playing with an actual controller. So yeah, Pac-Man 256, it's available everywhere, I guess, now. It is free on mobile, where it's timed. Or you can pay $5 and play it as often as you want and get very close to Fifth Dream's face, apparently. And Breakman says, the Banhammer does have Fifth Dream's name on it. I'm actually wearing right now the shirt. I mean, this is not a video podcast, so you don't really care. And trust me, you don't want it to be. But I'm actually wearing the Banhammer shirt that I got from a card game at PAX East 20. The one time I've been to PAX East. Why am I thinking about it? It was like 2 years ago, I think. And, you know, the first time I went to PAX East. I've been to PAX East twice. So my first PAX East, which might have been 2013, maybe. The game called Flame War, which is a card game about being a message board moderator. So I got PTSD, obviously. But I bought the shirt that had the Banhammer because there's a Banhammer card in it. So I am actually wearing my Banhammer shirt while thinking about Fifth Dream. It's kind of scary. So yeah, so enjoy the sale. Prepare your wallets. Try not to go too crazy. Don't go into debt. They're just video games. They're just video games. So another game that came out this week that I didn't play, and I kind of wanted to talk about this a little bit. It was a very much anticipated game from a legendary creator, and it's Mighty No. 9. And this game finally came out, and it's getting mediocre reviews from the critics. And there are a lot of people that are going, wait, we paid $3.8 million for this. And I haven't played it, but a lot of people are like, it lacks originality or something. And, Mighty No. 2 is what people are calling it. It's getting a lot of flack on the internet. And I kind of want to highlight something that another developer did, or actually another publisher's social media team did, that made me go, wait a minute, that's kind of not what is going on, should happen in this industry. So the genesis of this, I'm actually going to say what happened to be responded to, and then I'll tell you what this other publisher's social media team did. So Kenji Inafune was on a live stream at the launch, and basically he had something he was speaking through a translator, and this is what he said about a question, and this is reported by Vice, about like additional DLC coming in for the game. And he says, quote, "So there's not any additional DLC beyond the Ray and additional antagonist DLC. The reality is they put everything into making this game. They didn't try to microtransaction it out. They didn't try to DLC it out for extra money. They put it all in. So for now, this is what you see and what you get for the Mighty No. 9 world. But again, we can hope that if things go well, there'll be sequels. Because I'll tell you what, I'm not getting my 2D side-scrolling fill. And at the end of the day, even if it's not perfect, it's better than nothing. At least that's my opinion," unquote. So some people jumped on that last part, including the social media team that runs the ironic hipster account, which has a little blue check mark, so it's real. It's not a parody account. This ain't like CEO Kaz Hirai, which is a parody account that is hilarious. But the Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter posted today, or not today, but the day the game came out, "Congrats on the launch at Mighty No. 9. It's better than nothing." And it's a picture of Sonic shrugging his shoulders. This is another developer that has had several kind of developer blunders. I mean, this is the developer that made all the Sonic games that people don't like recently, and, 2006 and the Wii U games and all that stuff. They're not exactly ones to talk. And I think what happened is that their social media team saw this going on and decided to try to make a story out of it and make a joke in the 90s hipster Sonic the Hedgehog way. I don't think this is Sonic Team. I think this is, like I said, this is some intern, social media intern at Sega that posted this. But this is not, I don't like seeing like game developers going at each other, because frankly, we're all in this together. Leave the snide comments like this to the fanboys. Don't sink to their level. And I thought it was very poorly timed. I laughed. So maybe they got what they were going for. And a lot of people had a lot of fun trying to getting back at Sonic. I mean, even Dungeon Buster says the replies that were razzing Sonic were just as funny. Stuff like, hey, there's another Sonic bundle showing you that sometimes nothing is better than something. Ha ha! Which is fine, because that's a consumer, and you've got to be able to deal with that. But when it comes from your own, when it comes from your peers, which for game developers, other game developers are your peers, and when you've had that many, you're having that much bad publicity, that's not cool to pile on like that. Dark Tatia says, like Sonic has any room to talk, how did the Sonic Boom games turn out? They were better than nothing, I guess. So everybody's saying, well, they're just repeating something Kenji himself said. But from what I understand, it's kind of a translation error as well. Like, so it may not have been exactly what he had said. He was speaking. There was a translator next to him that was translating on the fly, which is a very difficult job, especially for a language that's so fundamentally different from English, like Japanese. He probably just made kind of a mistranslation or was translating so fast he didn't actually get the context right. And it came out differently in English than it does in Japanese. That is absolutely something that could happen. I don't know enough of Japanese to have been able to hear the original comment and then how it would have been translated, or how I would have translated it. But I think it might have been also a turn of phrase that's okay in Japan, but comes out completely differently here in America and in other English-speaking countries. Dungeon Bus says, I guess whoever runs the Sonic account hasn't grown up past the Genesis does what Nintendo don't phase. What it also might be is that we've seen, just in general on Twitter and social media, the brands that people like the most are the ones that act like millennial social media users. And, I mean, if you, you know, anytime some big tech event happens, look at Denny's, okay, the diner. Look at their official Twitter. They, every once in a while, will just post something absolutely hilarious that absolutely has something to do with something that just happened at some Apple keynote or something tech-related, and it'll be friggin' hilarious. And then, like, you go through their Twitter account, and they're talking about, you know, how great breakfast is and stuff, and it's actually kind of funny. And so a lot of people applaud them for that and their timeliness, but it's not something like this just feels a little different, even though I know Sonic the Hedgehog is trying to do kind of the same thing, where it's a little bit more snarky than you're used to in order to get the retweets and the likes and stuff, and that's kind of the way things are going right now. And Dark Tatsuya says Arby's is another one. Arby's is another corporate social media account that kind of takes on the tries to become the internet meme instead of being just the subject of internet memes. That's probably what the Sonic the Hedgehog team was going for, and they wound up going against their own peers. And I don't think that's the proper target. I don't think. But then again, I'm not a social media manager because apparently I'm too old, and you've got to be younger and more hip to be a good social media manager. Sky says, I live for Denny's. The Denny's account, it's amazing. Arby's also does a really good job considering you know they are Arby's, and Taco Bell as well. A person that I agreed with on this whole Sonic thing is Rami Ishmael from Vlambeer, who has started to become kind of the conscience of the indie game dev community, whether people agree with him or not. And he kind of posted a whole tweet storm that kind of echoed my thoughts. And he's like, this is not the time to be piling on fellow developers. This is the time to try to, you know, because the consumers are rightly, you know, because there are some things they did with that Kickstarter campaign that people just didn't like how the campaign worked out and stuff. And I think that let the consumers, have the developers going to get enough from the consumers. Don't add it to them by having maybe peers that they respect also adding to their misery. Speaking of adding to misery of other developers, let's talk about what's been going on this week with some indie game resellers. So, you know, the Steam sale's going on right now, and so you're getting games at low, low prices and on sale. But in that case, the developers of the games are still getting a portion of it. They're still getting their cut. So I'm okay with Steam sales because the developers are okay with Steam sales. But there are other sites out there that will take game codes from Steam and sell them at for much less than the developers originally sold them for, which would be okay because a lot of times these codes, people will buy them from the intended purpose of these sites is that, let's say you buy a Humble Bundle and you already own a game. Well, you can take that key and sell it on this other site. So the game developer's already been paid by being a part of the bundle. So you're just selling it because you didn't redeem it on your own site. And I think Steam used to have like that one that authorization, so it would automatically add. And I think they took that away because you get codes now from Humble Bundle again. They took away, I think it was like too much hassle for them to maintain. So these other sites have started springing up again. And the reason that Humble Bundle and Steam worked together like that was to stop this from happening, to stop reselling the keys, and then they abandoned it apparently. Well, it turns out one of these sites was caught getting keys that were received in a less than, basically keys that quote unquote fell off the back of a truck. So Polygon reports that the CEO of TinyBuild, Alex, and I'm only going to try to pronounce this once, Alex Nichiporchik, I think. So he's going to be the CEO from TinyBuild for the rest of this story. accused game code marketplace G2A of costing his company $450,000 in lost revenue by providing a marketplace where fraudulently purchased games could be sold below retail price. Later that evening, G2A issued several statements of their own defense, and among them a demand that Tiny Build provide more information within 3 days. The entire situation has developed into a war of words being waged in public and has even caused the International Game Developers Association to reevaluate their business relationship with G2A. So this all began when a G2A business development representative got in touch with the CEO of Tiny Build around March 22nd to discuss a blog post he had made about piracy of Tiny Build's recent release, Punch Club. Also involved in that email threads were representatives of Indie Game Stand and authorized Tiny Build reseller who had recently published a blog post on gray market key resellers. Now, G2A is a Russian outfit, by the way. So during these private conversations, a G2A representative showed him data on Tiny Build games already being sold through the marketplace. The result of that conversation showed the $450,000 worth of games had been recently sold for a fraction of their retail price on marketplaces like Steam, Humble Store, and Tiny Build's own online store. Digging deeper, he was able to purchase his own game codes from G2A and link them back to fraudulent transactions made through Tiny Build's own online store. These transactions were ultimately charged back by the issuing credit card company, taking revenue from Tiny Build's bottom line. So essentially, what happened is douchebag steals credit cards either by however they steal credit cards, buying the numbers from the black market, whatever. They got the credit cards and then they bought the games from Tiny Build's store. So they bought the games, the transaction went through, everything was hunky-dory. They got their key immediately because we don't want a waiting period to buy our games because that would be stupid. So they got the keys and stuff, and then the person who originally owned that credit card saw that there was the fraudulent transaction, contacted their bank, shut down the card. The transaction was charged back because the owner of the credit card didn't make that transaction. The owner of the credit card goes on with their merry life. And they get a new number and stuff and then are told not to use it wherever they used it. So Tiny Build then has to refund the entire cost of the game. But that game code is still valid. And so that game code, that person then sells on G2A and gets the actual, and they sell it for a fraction of the price, and they get it back. And there's no mechanism really to fight that because the chargeback could happen hours or days later, and by then, the game code's already been sold somewhere else and released. And Dungeon Buster says, game code's the new underground economy. Apparently so. G2A responded in a statement they sent to Polygon. It said that Tiny Build's March blog post on piracy contains unreliable information. In the course of its sales calls, G2A said it simply asked Tiny Build for a list of all the game codes that he believes were purchased fraudulently and offered to use that information to purge individual items and, if need be, remove certain resellers from the marketplace. So basically they said, oh, really, you had a lot of game codes stolen? Why don't you send us all the codes? Give me all the codes. Why would he want all the codes? A G2A statement said, quote, all G2A asked was to cooperate with Tiny Build to rectify the issue, which is the list of keys they deemed without any verification that they are stolen. Only then can G2A compare these keys against the G2A marketplace database and report those findings back to Tiny Build. Unfortunately, Tiny Build never came back with the answers to resolve the issue, unquote. But they did not stop there. Instead, they began to elaborate on how market forces will naturally push down the price of a game and how the $450,000 quoted by Tiny Build was not a valid sum. Quote, why did Tiny Build refer to only the highest price point of their product history? While in the real market, you can buy their products in a bundle or 85% discount off is sourced. Finding a better medium for the price would give a true overview. Tiny Build should explain to the media why they omitted their sales data from the revenue projection. G2A.com calls for Tiny Build to provide their list of suspicious keys within 3 days from the date of this transmission, unquote. And there was actually a little bit more to this. They didn't want just merely a list of codes, but his Tiny Build's participation in the G2A.pay payment solution, a proprietary payment portal from which G2A profits. Only then would they agree to work with him out to root out the fraud on their platform. So the statement given by G2A to the Russian site Kenobu seems to support that line of argument. And this is kind of funny. So translated from Russian by G2A. The statement reads that they sent originally, quote, G2A.com is not responsible for the vulnerability of other billing systems. We are very sorry that TinyBuild's own shop was a target for these attacks and that this incident affected our negotiation process. We hope to resume good communication because G2A is an open door for cooperation, unquote. So they're basically saying, well, we're sorry that you were vulnerable for people who stole credit cards and used them while they were still valid, and then when the owners found out that they weren't valid, they charged you back. We're so sorry that you were too vulnerable for that. Everybody's vulnerable to that. However, G2A's public relations team asked that Polygon disregard the final paragraph of the statement given to Kenobu, which Kenobu translated as follows, quote, furthermore, we invite every developer and publisher that has any problem with chargebacks to start using G2A Pay free of charge with 100% security, and all cost of any chargebacks will be covered by G2A, unquote. G2A's public relations team told Polygon that, quote, should not be a part of the official comment from G2A. The quote still appears and on Kenobu, and Polygon has asked G2A to clarify why it was requested that they ignore it. So it's kind of funny. They requested Polygon to ignore it, and because Polygon are apparently terrible at game journalism, they did not comply with the public relations demand. So now how IGDA is involved with this, it turns out at the Game Developer Conference this year, the IGDA was prominently sponsored by G2A. A lot of indie game developers took to Twitter to decry the support choice of sponsors, and even the GDC conference overseer Simon Carlos actually publicly clarified that G2A was in no way sponsoring GDC itself. So even GDC was like, we want nothing to do with these guys. So a friend of the network, IGDA director Kate Edwards, says, quote, as part of their one-off GDC sponsorship, G2A was granted IGDA partner status earlier this year. But given the current complaints from TinyBuild, we have requested additional clarification on the situation from G2A's senior leadership. While we do not want to jump to any conclusions before gathering all the facts and hearing from all parties, if any IGDA partner was found to be conducting business in a manner that hurts developers, the IGDA would disassociate itself with that organization as soon as possible. Dungeon Buster says, this sounds like a mess. I'll just deal with Valve. So will I. And Humble Bundle. I'll deal with Humble Bundle, too. But basically just Valve and Humble Bundle, because I know that I could, you know, and you know, for people that want to buy a game that's, you know, $5 on Steam for 25 cents on G2A, and G2A gets all the profits and the game developer gets none, if that's what they're going to do, that's what they're going to do. You know, the problem is not on the this is not a consumer's problem. But as somebody who is a fan of game developers and game development and likes games, if you're going to pay for the game, pay the developers. Like, there were other indie developers that were like, we would rather see you pirate our game than purchase it on G2A. And I don't have that in front of me. I do know that there was a developer that's not from TinyBuild that was responding to this. And that's basically what he said. He's like, look, if you're not willing to buy our game on Steam or on Humble Bundle or on this site, and you're going to pay 85% less on G2A, message me, I will send you the torrent link. Like, he even said, I will send you the BitTorrent link to pirate our game. I would much rather you pirate our game than pay somebody else for it, and then we get nothing out of it. Dungeon Buster does say, good old games is good people too. They are. Or I think they're just now GOG. I think they got rid of the good old games because they don't want to be just old games. But yes, GOG are good people as well. So my request to you as a consumer is, can't believe I'm going to say this, if your only reasonable option to pay for a game is by paying for it on G2A, go pirate it. And I hate piracy. I hate it. And I don't like it when people pirate. But frankly, if it's between paying a Russian site that maybe got the codes off of quote unquote a back of a truck, you know, metaphorically, or pirating it, SJ Wonder Matt says, also try to buy any games at full price if you can. For the indie devs, they need the money. Then again, I wait till Steam sales. So SJ Wonder Matt asked that, but I don't do that. I do wait for sales, so I will not preach that because I don't do it. So we are actually going to take a quick music break for the first time in like a month. I have no clue which bumper is even playing, but this is So we'll be back after this break, and then we can take your calls about any of this. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show. Woohoo! It's a number one.
I thought Chatterbox Video Game Radio was number one.
I'm number one. The heck with everybody else. You're listening to the great radio show. Now have a rotten day.
That bumper is literally 10 years old. That bumper was recorded 10 years ago, back when podcasts were king and Chatterbox Video Game Radio still existed on AM radio. And when Charles Martinet would actually have done that, which he probably wouldn't do that today, but he was very happy to do that while we were standing in line for the Wii at E3 2006. Not having a rotten day. If you want to leave a bumper, we actually will start playing them again. You don't have to have been 10 years ago at E3. You can be here in 2016, not at E3. I didn't go to E3 this year. And you can either send me a voicemail on the toll-free number or send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Now, speaking of the phone lines, they're open. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free North America. Feel free to call in and talk about any of this or any of the other stuff that you want to talk about in the gaming world this week. There was some other stuff that I can talk about, but I'm going to wait for some other, if anybody wants to call in. If not, I can talk about VR and make Breakman drunk. But I wanted to kind of get through some of the other general gaming stuff first before going into the VR. SJ1er Matt asked, didn't Chatterbox Radio end not long ago? Yes, they did. I think Alon is doing something new. Like, he was going to do something new and not have it be the Chatterbox brand. I know they were no longer on AM radio a couple years ago. They went away from the AM radio. And actually, the way that he did that is he actually paid. That was not like a radio show that was part of that radio, like that radio station. It was actually, you can actually pay, or I don't know if you can anymore, but you can actually pay for airtime. And that is what he did, is he paid for an hour a week of airtime out of his own pocket to do the show. And, you know, they would provide, you know, a station director that would allow, you know, for calls and stuff, phone calls, and work with that. But he basically paid for that airtime. He had no... And he, like, I think he was responsible for getting his own sponsors or something like that. So that is how he did that, is that he actually paid for that airtime so he could be an AM radio show. And then he did get on Rockstar's bad side, because he did name the show Chatterbox Radio after the Grand Theft Auto radio station. And Rockstar and him kind of went after it. And Stoppy even says, Chatterbox, you're in GTA's. Laszlo really liked that in real life. Yeah, so that's why Rockstar kind of went after him, because when he said Chatterbox, called himself Chatterbox Video Game Radio, they're like, people are going to think you're part of GTA. And I actually think he never changed the name, so I guess it got settled or it just stopped. I don't know. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase kitchen. So since nobody's calling in right now, and some people in chat are trying to guess what I was going to talk about. So basically, in the virtual reality world, we have two headsets right now competing on the PC. PlayStation VR, by the way, is on tour right now at Best Buy's and Evil G's. So maybe if you want to try the PSVR, which is going to be a great entry-level solution that works on the PS4 and things are just going to work out of the box, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it in October. This is about the higher end. This is about the PC headsets. So you have your Oculus Rift and your HTC Vive. And the code to write virtual reality games, as a developer, I can tell you this, is pretty much the same. It's not that difficult. Now, what Oculus has done is provided monetary support to indie developers to be exclusive to Oculus Home, which is fine. But because the headsets in hardware sense are very much identical, in terms of the headset themselves, Oculus's hand controllers are not out yet, HTC Vives are. That is basically the big difference between the two of them right now. But the technology in the headset, other than certain software things that make things a little better or worse, depending on what you're looking at, they're pretty much the same. So there is literally no reason for one piece of hardware to not be able to run everything. It's kind of like saying you can only use an Asus monitor to play PC games. You can't use a Samsung monitor. You know, or saying that you need a special brand of TV to be able to play the games, which is why the Magnavox Odyssey failed, by the way, because everybody assumed they needed a Magnavox TV to play the Magnavox Odyssey, which was not the case, but Magnavox didn't exactly tell people that wasn't the case because they wanted people to buy Magnavox TVs. So there's your history for the day. So the way that so HTC Vive games are all written with Steam VR. And in Steam VR, it is a Steam VR is basically kind of a their utility, but it broadcasts out to all the devices. So if you write something in Steam VR, it also works in the Oculus Rift. And if you write something in Steam VR, it also works in the OS VR, the new open source VR headset, whatever. So that's how. So anything that's made for the HTC Vive, you can load in the Oculus Rift. And you might not be able to play it unless you have you're a developer that has the Oculus Touch controllers today, because Steam VR apparently works with those out of the box. They also work with like the Razer Hydra. If you have the old Razer Hydra, which sucked, I've got one and it's terrible, but you can actually use those with Steam VR games that use the Vive hand controllers. So Steam's been very open about this right now. And so Oculus, it doesn't work that way. When you have the Oculus SDK, it only works on the Oculus Rift. It doesn't run anywhere else. It is not as open. Which, if Oculus wants to make things exclusive to their store, that's fine. But a lot of people were like, well, I have a Vive. I'll go to your Oculus store and buy this game on Oculus Store so you get my money. But I have a Vive, and there's literally no reason I shouldn't be able to play this game on the Vive. There is no technical reason they could not play that game with the Vive, because you can still absolutely grab an Xbox controller and play a game with the Vive headset on. So, some open source developers came up with a program called Revive, which was an open source solution that was basically kind of like an injection driver and stuff that would allow games compiled for the Oculus SDK that only work on the Oculus Rift to also run on Steam VR. It basically translated the calls to the Steam VR platform so it could run on the HTC Vive. And all was good until Oculus was like, we're not going to support this. And they're like, you don't have to support it. We'll support it. You just do your thing. And so Oculus is like, well, now we're going to add a hardware check. And if it's not an Oculus Rift that we're connected to, it's not going to run. And so Revive was like, huh, that's quite a shame. So I guess the only way around this is because Oculus made that hardware check as a part of their Oculus Home DRM, their store DRM, which Revive, the developers, were adhering to, at that point, the Oculus Home DRM, because they don't want you to pirate Oculus developers. They do not want you to pirate any of their games. They want you to go to Oculus Home, buy the game, and play it on your Vive. That's what they want. Well, Oculus then said, as part of the DRM, we're not going to check what headset you're running. And if you're not running an Oculus Rift, then darn, guess you can't play the game. So Revive, the very next day, said, well, we hated to have to do this, but please don't pirate the games, but we just bypassed the Oculus DRM. So now you could pirate games off of Oculus Home, and they'd work fine, because that was the only way they could get the game to work on Revive. Well, Upload VR reports that just a month after it introduced them, Oculus has reversed security updates introduced in the Oculus Home platform. Following the initial update's arrival in late May, users discovered that a popular hack known as Revive had been blocked. The program allowed a handful of VR games designed to be exclusive to the Oculus Rift, including launch titles Lucky Tales, to be now played on the HTC Vive. The new update introduced a headset check that wasn't intended to break the hack, but no less caused massive controversy. Oculus causing controversy. Ironically, the makers of Revive were soon able to pass the restrictions and open up the Oculus platform to further risk of piracy in the process, but now Oculus itself has decided to reverse the situation. Revive developers have acted quickly following the removal of the check. An update to the software has been posted on GitHub to bring it back in line, meaning you'll be able to access the games that were previously available without jumping through extra hoops. Perhaps even more games might work going forward. CrossVR, one of the system's developers, took to Reddit to thank Oculus for the decision. He says, quote, "I'm delighted to see this change, and I hope it can generate a lot of goodwill for Oculus," unquote. The move comes after a trying few weeks for Oculus. Not only has the company faced criticism for blocking access to its exclusive content, but also securing that content in the first place. I don't have a problem with that, and I'll explain why after I read the rest of this. More trouble arose during E3 last week when it was revealed that Giant Cop, a game previously announced for the HTC Vive, would first be coming to the Rift. Following that, the makers of Serious Sam VR revealed that they had been offered a crap ton of money, except this is Serious Sam, so they used a different joke, to bring their title to the Oculus headset first before releasing elsewhere. Could this reversal mark a turning point for the controversy? The company won't be backing away from exclusive content, but it's more open to letting enthusiasts access that content than it may have some of the pressure ease off. So the following quote was from an Oculus representative later, quote, "We continually revise our entitlement and anti-piracy systems, and in the June update, we've removed the check for Rift hardware and the entitlement check. We won't use hardware checks as part of DRM on PC in the future." DRM on PC in the future. "We believe protecting developer content is critical to the long-term success of the VR industry and will continue taking steps in the future to ensure that VR developers can keep investing in groundbreaking new VR content," unquote. So why I don't really have a problem with Oculus securing exclusive content is because they are injecting money into the development cycle for these games so they don't have to go to Kickstarter. These are games that they're not coming to you before they're done with the game saying, "Hey, give us money, and we might give you a game in a year." No, Oculus is putting Zuckerberg's money up, and I think it was like to the tune of like a couple million dollars. I don't remember, but I mean, when they announced it, I actually said it was a good thing, and this was one of the reasons I was excited about the Facebook purchase at the time, which a lot of people hate me for liking it. But they basically said, you know, "We're going to front you this money and then in return make your content exclusive to our store for 6 months or 12 months. Which, to be fair, I would take it too. If it was either that or going to Kickstarter and having to beg people for money and worry about reward tiers and all that stuff. And then, you know, if you don't do everything the way that the backers really want, you know, like Mighty No. 9, then, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog tweets negatively about you. If it's the choice between, hey, Oculus is going to give me money and I just have to be exclusive to them for 6 to 12 months, or dealing with Kickstarter and all that crap, I absolutely would take Oculus's money, and that would allow me to make a VR experience that I want to make and sell it there and then eventually make it work on the HTC Vive. I don't begrudge Oculus for that. I did have a problem with Oculus blocking the other headset from using content that people bought on Oculus Home. At that point, they shouldn't care what headset you're using on because they got your money. You know, just like Valve doesn't care if you can buy games on Steam and run them in your Oculus Rift, and Valve don't care. They're like, "We got your money." And I know the purchase by Facebook was $2 billion. That's what Stoppy says. But there was like, I think it might have been $10 million that they allocated literally just to indie game developers to publish on Oculus. They offered, and it might have been, I don't know if it was $10 million, but there was a portion of that that they basically said, "We are setting this money aside just for indie game developers to make VR content on the Oculus platform." And it turns out this exclusivity window on Oculus Home is a part of that. And people don't like that. And I think that I'm totally fine with that. I am okay with timed exclusives. If it was a permanent exclusive, I'd have an issue. I don't think they are. I think they are timed exclusives. And Dungeon Buster says, "It's almost the same deal that Ouya offered indies to support its platform a while ago, but at least Facebook has the money to do it." So nobody called in because I guess you guys wanted to hear me talk about that. So I'm still going to call out, though. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California, who talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them. Sacramento, you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. My volume mixer just crashed, so I had to put it back up.
Well, that's not good.
I know, it's not good. It's because I'm still running Windows 7. I don't know.
That's okay. We're still running Windows XP here in the studio.
I know, and at least you're not being pressured to upgrade.
Well, actually, a very kind, generous donor actually has given us a Windows 10 install, so like a legit one.
I was going to say, is that donor Microsoft?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that. However, the whole thing is that I would feel better if we actually upgraded some of the parts in this computer first.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like one of those like nervous things where once you make a switch like that, you kind of can't go back. And you know how I am about the whole, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I have a freaking system that's worked for, how about that, 14 years now.
I know.
So I'm not sure if I want to break it. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
See, this is 14 years now.
It is. If you can believe it, earlier this week, we officially had our birthday, 14 years.
And I've been opening up for you for about 10 of those.
Oh, it's co-headlining. Come on.
Opening band. So what are you guys doing for the big 14 years?
Honestly, it's kind of gotten to that point. It's kind of like your birthday's after 21. It's just like you're kind of like, oh, yay, I aged another year. Whoopee. So we're kind of in that mode right now. But we do have some little things to kind of take a look back tonight. Our Fugle question kind of gets into that a little bit. And, of course, we'll take a few trips down memory lane in the opening tonight. Our good pal Shane, who's guested on many, 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 many episodes of OLR over the years and now has his own podcast, yes, Ranger Pride, is here in studio with us tonight. And since we have some extra people in studio, as promised last week, so it's been a while, we're going to do an OLR game tonight. So we're going to bring back Listless tonight for y'all.
All right. I'll have to make sure the site still works for that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, actually, I probably should have warned you because speaking of, you know, not using something for a long time and just hoping it works the way you remember it.
Yeah. Remember to save a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But next year's 15.
It is the OLR quinceañera next year, if you can believe it. I'm actually thinking about, and you know, I have the right ties in the area to figure out where to get an event space cheap. So we may actually do. I don't want to use the word con, but that's kind of how I'm approaching it, as like a day con.
Yeah,
I would almost call it Bay Con, but there actually is one of those.
Oh yeah,
there actually is a Bay
we
Con.
We can just call it OLR 15 quinceañera gate.
Quinceañera gate. I don't know about that. But it'll definitely be something related to the quinceañera for OLR.
Yeah.
So, which something that I don't believe any other live internet show has hit 15 years. Right. I don't know if there's any other out there. If
can
you know
I
of one,
a pretty dress?
Let me know. Absolutely. Can I have a pretty dress?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Loki can have a pretty dress too.
Anybody can wear whatever they want.
I seriously want like a pretty dress because I didn't even know what a quinceañera was until I moved out here.
I still don't know what it is.
I still don't know what it is either.
It's it's
just like bar mitzvah.
It's kind of like a bar mitzvah, but it's much.
It's a sweet 16, but at 15.
Yeah, and mostly in
with parties and dancing.
Mostly in Mexican culture. It's like aging into womanhood.
And on the 16th anniversary, can we just act like complete jerks and just like tell people like how they're screwing up our party, and then maybe MTV can film it?
Sure. Actually, something I actually learned from watching Chelsea on Netflix, which I'll admit to doing because I think she's hilarious. But she was actually interviewing, I think, some like teenagers in Mexico, and they were saying that they get to choose if they want a quinceañera, a car, or something else. It's like a rite of passage. Mm-hmm. So thought it was interesting. You could choose
a pound of cocaine.
Stop it. You can choose a quinceañera. What would you choose, a quinceañera or a car?
I'd rather have a car. This is a party. Who cares? So. Unless it's party, I get a car, in which case, you know, then do.
Well, here's the thing, and Dark Tatsuya is asking in chat, OLR Sweet 16, sure. Well, that's the thing. If the quinceañera is a success, then what do you have to look forward to the next year?
Ooh.
See? I've got
maybe someone should buy us a car.
I've got the 5-year plan worked out here.
So I did want to kind of mention that the reason I bought Pac-Man 256 was because I did watch the recording of your stream.
Oh, thank you.
So I was like, I should get that. And I'm like, since there's no online multiplayer, I'm like, oh, I don't have to get it on Steam. I'll just go get it on PS4.
Yeah. Is there online multiplayer on PS4?
No. Okay. No, but you do have the share play.
Ah, good thinking. Good thinking. That is something you wouldn't have on Steam. That's awesome that you watched that. Yeah, that's. I finally just it's the streaming thing's been something I've been talking about forever, and I finally just said, "Dang it, Rob, you need to shut the hell up and do it." So I did a couple streams this week, and I'm planning a couple for next week, trying to mix it up and not just do the same old games. Although there's always going to be time to do a Final Fantasy 14 stream.
Yeah.
But I do want to do random games, like new things that come out on Steam, because I have a backlog on Steam just like y'all, and there's games that come out that I want to check out, so I'm totally cool with exploring maybe things that not everybody's necessarily playing or talking about.
And I'm going to have to get with you, because I want to figure out how you did all the stuff, like the chat and the followers and all that stuff.
I'll actually let you know. It's really easy. I used an app that I learned about at TwitchCon when our voiceover dude, Jason... Mm-hmm. Took me out there, and it was called Game Show. And believe it or not, I did the trial, and I actually ended up buying it. It was pretty cheap. It was something like $20 for 3 months. They take the Adobe approach to it,
right,
where you kind of pay. But I did notice they do lots and lots of regular updates. There are a few quirks that still kind of irritate me about it, but obviously, as you saw, being able to do some of those things like the followers and the Twitter and a lot of plugins and things were kind of worth it.
That's cool. Because Southern Fried Game Room Expo, I did the charity panel, and Extra Life was on there, and they were like, you can do it this year, right? Because it's on a weekend, I'm not doing something else. Like, every time the big Extra Life weekend is, I've always got something else planned.
Isn't it always in October?
It's November 5th.
Oh, they pushed it out a little bit.
They pushed it to November.
Uh-huh, that's why. Yeah, because I was like, I feel like Extra Life is always like a Rocky Horror conflict.
Yeah.
Of some sort, yeah.
So I'm like, maybe we should really think about it this year.
I think that is something we should be talking about for sure.
We should talk.
We should. Your people call my people.
That's right, that's what we'll do. So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight on the 14th?
Well, there is still gaming news going on, although not a lot, because most of the game companies, kind of said what they had to say at E3. Mm-hmm. But that, the one thing that is not going to slow down, Bobby Blackwolf, is NX rumors.
Oh,
and boy, do we have a new batch for you guys tonight. So we're going to talk about some of those, including, speaking of Nintendo, I can believe this, sadly, but I can't believe someone would have the nerve to try to steal the Zelda demo from E3. It's one of those things where you kind of...
And they went to G2A to sell it.
Oh, yeah, no kidding, right? No kidding. We'll talk a little bit as well about this lawsuit going on with Sony and the whole removal back when they removed Linux. That is coming to a conclusion. And yet again, we have this PlayStation 3 lawsuit going to come to a conclusion all these years later. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can get something out of it if you feel you were wronged by that removal.
Unfortunately, because my PS3 was struck by lightning and I don't have it anymore, I can't.
Want to hear something ironic? My original PlayStation 3 that had that patch that uninstalled Linux, we are listening to your show on right now, thanks to TuneIn.
I'd be still using it if it wasn't struck by lightning.
Yeah.
All right, Orange Lounge Radio, 14 years on the air. They're up next.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Not here July 10th, but I am here next Sunday night. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper if you send the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1 or email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf is where I am. Or you can submit comments on the episode pages at VogNetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Ronma, Sky, VHHNXV, Bird, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Tigerclaw, Loki, Alan Alchemy, Alt, Bacon Bits, Brad from Pod Culture, the Blue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, eSWAT, Hitstun, Matt Cube, Breakman, MXC, MXT, Orange Wright, Raginator, Slagkick, SJ100 Matt, Stoppy, Tatum, Toagak, VidPower, William Murderface, and Zeba. That is it for me. Try not to spend too much more money. Save some money for the bills, but I know that the Steam sale is going on. The summer seems... There's cards to get, badges to make. Be good with your money.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.